All right. If you might open your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, we'll be reading a little bit from that come shortly. Now, we're assembled today to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to worship our God in spirit and truth, to search the Scriptures diligently, to find those unsearchable riches of Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we do, and we will continue to do as long as the Lord permits. Such a wonderful thing we have in the body of Christ. Do you realize how many things we can learn from the Scriptures? It is endless. And when we think about the unsearchable riches, it's unfathomable. It's amazing how many things God has done over the centuries since the creation. And some of those things we readily remember. This morning, that was one of the things we spoke about concerning Jesus Christ, the Lord's Supper, the things that we are to remember. Never forget that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. Never forget that Jesus Christ has the power over life and death. We never forget that Jesus' blood is more powerful than anything man has ever devised, because it can save us like nothing else. And so we think about things that we need to remember when we take the Lord's Supper. Things that come to mind, or should come to our mind, as we clear our minds and meditate upon that wonderful memorial. And this morning we began and we mentioned a few things that would kind of open that up and introduce the idea of remembering. And one of those things is something that is very tragic. And that was what we referred to as 9/11, September 11th. And this morning I asked just simple questions. Do you remember how many separate attacks there were that day? And the answer is 4. Do you remember on September 11th, 2001, how many terrorists were involved in that? The answer was 19. And how many people died? The answer is 2,996 to date. Do we remember that, how deeply we grieved on that day? How that hurt us as a nation? And how it actually brought us together, this event brought us together. It's such a terrible thing. And yet, of all this, the firefighters, the police, the military people involved, all those people, the civil workers, the 2,996 people that passed away because of that event. Where were you on that day? You remember, I imagine. I was in this second floor of our home in Barberton. Who was with you that day? Things that you would remember. And that's important. There's also the Challenger crash, that disaster that happened in January 28, 1986. That was a long time ago. Do we remember how many seconds after the launch that thing blew up? I mean, I remember watching it. There it is. Okay to roll over and boom. That was only 73 seconds after they launched. 7 crew members lost their lives. And I would imagine that we don't remember all their names. Some of those names are probably in our minds. Krista McCullough is probably one of them. Christine McAuliffe. But other people that Judith Resnick would be one. But those things happen, and they were big tragedies, big events. And there's so much that we might not remember about that because it becomes part of our past. We tend to think about today and what's important today, and over time we let go of those things that hurt or became such tragedies, and we just let that go. We forget the feelings, we forget the details, and we mentioned this morning that could be a good thing. And because of those kind of memorials and those kinds of things that come up, we remember December 7th, 1941. We remember June 6th, 1944, D-Day. We remember Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. We remember Lyndon B. Johnson signed the Civil Rights Act. Those are things that we remember. But what's important is that we go beyond just remembering and we can hold on to the experience and hold on to what's important. And there's a reason for all this. There's a quote, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." And that is so very, very true. If we don't pay attention to the history of man through the Scriptures, if we don't look back and see, you know, what it was like in the garden and what happened in the garden, if we don't go back and pay careful attention to Adam and Eve and what took place there, how sin entered into the world, and of course, the resolve for that sin. And we can see that through the history of mankind. And if we forget all that, then we're doomed to repeat it. And the truth is, the further you get down from anything, any event, you begin to forget. It's only natural. Some things, though, we must never forget. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you would, please. And we're going to just read verses 6 through 12, and then we'll continue to roll on. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, at verse 6, we read, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." Now, to back up, to be fair, what is called the Great Shema of Israel began there in verse 4. And he says, "Oh, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I commanded you this day shall be in your heart." That's a synonym for your brain. That's a synonym for remembering up here in your heart. It means you'll remember. He wants us to remember. Verse 7, "You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your head, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So shall it be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olives which trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware. And what's he say? Lest you forget that the Lord who brought you out of in the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Lest you forget is that point that we must remember. We must remember consequences. We must remember the good, the bad. We must remember all those things that will keep us in the grace of God. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And if, you know, this is, it's a complete shadow of what took place in our lives today. All of those who've obeyed the gospel are part of this kind of language. We have been brought out of darkness and we now walk in the light because of Jesus Christ, because of His message. God is telling the people Israel here, He loves them and He wants them to love Him. These words, He says, "I command you. They shall be in your heart." In your heart means you're going to remember. And that's so, so awfully important. And the best way to do this in the sense of the Spirit of God is to just study. Read the Bible. Think about it. Meditate on it. Ask questions. Discuss it with people. Make sure that the words are resting in your heart. Because that's the only way you're going to remember what's really, really important. It is so easy to get into a position where you forget. Forget this verse, forget that verse. I forgot that event. And we need to store those things in our hearts. Do you know the names of your grandchildren, the names of your children, the names of your children's children, and so on? That's because they're in your heart. I meet people all the time, and 2 seconds after I meet them, I'm ashamed that I have such a hard time remembering names. But I can tell you the names of my grandchildren. No problem. Because they're in my heart. Do you remember the wedding date when you were married? You probably do because it's in your heart. It's important to you. Do you remember how all the states, all the basketball players, football players, hockey players, some people can actually tell you the names of every state. Some people can recall the names of basketball players, football players, and so on. I'm not one of those people. That's because those are things that I don't love. What we remember when it comes to God are the things of God that are important to us. The teaching of Jesus. The commands that are written in the New Testament. The accounts of healings and wonderful things. Those are things that we remember because we're in, Christ is in us, or the Holy Spirit, and we want to remember those things. We remember the things of God. And many of us, I can't even begin to tell you about any sports figures, but I can tell you about Jesus. And I know people who can recite statistics about so many different things, but they can't remember the Word of God because it's not important. And that's very important to us. The bottom line is that they have to hear the Word, the commands, and they have to store them away. That's what Deuteronomy verse 6. And these words which I command you, are they in your heart? Is God's Word in your heart? Is it something you make as a daily devotion, as we talked about a couple lessons back? How we are to be devoted to the Word and to the work. Because if it's not there, it's because it's not important to you. And so think that one through. And secondly, listen carefully. You know, I'm not saying that it's a sin to love sports and to be able to snap out names and weights and statistics for people. That's not sin. I'm saying that God should be first and above all those things. We should remember so much about God compared to anything else in this world. He should be the first thing on your list and the last thing on your list. And you should remember Him first and last. That's how He has to be. God there's nothing that should precede Jesus. There's nothing that should precede our love for God. Not family, not friends, not work, not sports, nothing. In Psalm 1, at verse 2 something, I think we're all familiar, delight, that the man of God is the man who delights in the law of the Lord. He meditates on that law day and night. So our faith includes our memory. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, and it increases as we continue to study, as we hear God on a regular basis. Another part of this command is that you must teach them to others. If you look at what it says there in verse 7 of Deuteronomy, teach them. If you're a parent, teach your children. If you're not a parent, teach yourself, teach your friends, teach other people. We have a responsibility there to teach them. We pray together with them, to pray in our homes. Matthew chapter 6, you read verses 5 through 15. It's all something that we can do together. We teach the Bible in our homes and in even in our workplace. You think of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. We need to know the Holy Scriptures. Paul mentions that to Timothy when he says that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. We need to remember this, faith. And we don't want to just make worshiping God, reading the Bible, a root thing. It's not something, we've talked about that many times. We're not just an assembly out of command. We're doing it because of our love. It's important. Most people teach that the Bible is from God, but so many people miss the point that it's also the standard for all spiritual things. It's a standard for living. It's a standard for right and wrong. It's a standard to teach us the difference between immorality, like foul speech and dishonest gain, tempers, fits, intoxication, all those things. What the Bible teaches about right and good and truth. You know, all Scripture's written by the breath of God. So we need to keep that close to us. When should we communicate to others? Right? What did he say in verse 7? How do we communicate to others? It's so important to teach. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Pass it on. We should do it while we're sitting down, while we're standing up, while we're walking along the way, if we're laying down. It should be constant. And remember, again, this is a shadow of what the church is and how we should live. What did he suffer? What did he do? What wonderful messages did Jesus portray or reveal? Those are the things we must never forget. And then we let people see our lights, and that's really all there in verse 8 of Deuteronomy. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. They used to wear these frontlets. It was a little canister, square box kind of a thing, and they would drop scripture in that. And when everybody saw a person wearing those frontlets, they would know. Their light was shining. We go daily and preach the word as we're going. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. We're the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. These are things that we must do. Let other people see the way you are, the habits that you have. Let strangers be treated with respect. Let them see those frontlets. And we will glorify God, and God will glorify us. And when your hand helps other people, you give the things they need, you help people as an individual, then you're showing love. You're teaching them by the way that you live. And what's missing? What do we miss if we don't remember? If we don't remember all about Jesus, what are we missing? Well, if you look at verses 10 and 11 of Deuteronomy, back then the Jews, they're going to miss God bringing them in to the land which He swore to their fathers. They're going to miss that large and beautiful, the large and beautiful cities that they didn't build. Houses full of good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant when you have eaten and are full. What are we missing if we don't take time to remember Jesus? What's missing in our lives when we have this empty place in our heart? And everybody has it, accept it or not, confess it or not, believe it or not. We all have an empty place. We were all born with an empty place. There's always that little silent or even the tiniest whisper, there's an empty place. And it can only be filled with Jesus. There's no other answer. But what's really important is that we never forget. For the Jews, what did they lose? They lost the right to enter into the land. What do Christians lose? What do we lose? If that's a shadow of things to come, what is the shadow that came? What do Christians lose? What do they lose? If we look at the Scriptures, John 14 and 2, they lose out on that place in heaven that Jesus has prepared for the prepared people. You know, John chapter 14, he says, if you believe in God, believe in me also. For in my Father's house are many mansions, and I would not have told you if it were not so. The Jews, they were to enter into that promised land, that beautiful land with big cities that they didn't build. We're able by our faith and the continual remembrance of Jesus Christ and what He did to go to a place that we did not prepare, a city that was built without hands in heaven waiting for us. And I can't think of a better reason to remember. I just can't. The place where Jesus prepared the place for people who diligently seek Him. If we forget the things of God, if we forget Jesus and all that He's done for us, His Word, His promises, His commandments, the power of His blood, then we'll end up falling away. The Hebrew writer says it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift, have been become partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good Word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to faith, repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God. That's Hebrews chapter 6. We must remember. And there are certain things, you know, if we forget God, we lose eternal life. If they turn against God here, they lose the inheritance, that land flowing with milk and honey. If we lose our sight on God or never even place our sights on God, if we forget all the things that are being taught and they go in one ear and out the other, well, then we'll never see God. We'll never see heaven. We'll never see the streets of gold. We'll never see the tree of life on either side of this river, crystal river. We'll never see God on His throne. We'll never experience a place where there's no sun or moon because the light that is there comes from God. We'll never be able to be rejoicing together for eternity with all the saints before us in heaven, where there's no pain, no tears, no suffering, no dying, none of those things. Everything's new. And those are the things that we lose if we don't have and develop a relationship
through the Spirit of God, with God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. We lose our souls in hell rather than our souls in heaven. And we'll never have that part. Matthew chapter 11. We'll never have that rest for our souls that Jesus talks about. We'll never be without pain. We'll always have tears. And we'll always have sorrow. A positive side of forgetting things, according to Paul, he forgot the things that were behind him and he was reaching forward for the things which are ahead. And that's what the Bible helps us to learn to do. It helps us to forget the past, not that we will repeat it, but we let it go. We take it out of our lives with purpose. Forgetting sin, forgetting ungodliness, forgetting the way of the world, remembering Jesus, remembering God, remembering why He came, how He came to this earth, remembering the things that He taught, things that we need to remember, the virgin birth we mentioned this morning, the miracles that He did, you know, walking on, or turning wine, water into oinos in John chapter 2 at that wedding feast. He healed a nobleman's son with having never touched him in John chapter 4. He healed a leopard, Matthew chapter 8. He caused the blind to see, the lame to walk. He calmed the storms from a stormy sea. And He can do that for us in our lives. He walked on water. He brought Lazarus out from the tomb, from death to life. He healed those who were crippled, those who had no way to heal themselves. And remember that Jesus spoke, Jesus did miracles, and all of that was confirmed. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, the Hebrew writer says, "And in these last days, God has spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when we had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of God, of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than angels, He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." Those are the things that we have to remember. Jesus is the Son of God. Luke chapter 1, verse 32. 1 John chapter 4, verse 14, Jesus is the Son of God. He will be great and called the Highest, Luke said. Jesus is the true bread from heaven, John chapter 6, verse 32. And the people couldn't accept it. The fact that Jesus died for you, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, we're all familiar. God demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Remember that. Even if you're not a Christian, Sister Jane this morning was talking about how it's impossible. She doesn't understand. How is it that somebody can read this and not believe it? How can you read this and not live by it? Well, read this. Believe it. Live by it. Understand Jesus Christ died for you. We know He was real. There's no question of that. All the historians, all the old writings, people who study these things, there indeed was Jesus Christ, referred to by Josephus as a man, if it was lawful to call him a man. And he said that because of all the things that Jesus did. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, that's where Peter said, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ." Remember, He's risen Savior. Remember. And Jesus wasn't the Savior. He is the Savior. Jesus is the Savior, and He's the only way to heaven. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. He is the Savior. He's the only way to heaven. We have redemption through His blood, Paul wrote to Colossians 1:14. Just a couple simple points here. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 32, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. The truth does a whole lot more than making us free. The truth brings us joy. When we read about the truth, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, who is the way and the truth. When we read about the things that He taught, the things that He did, those miracles we mentioned, and many, many more things. When we see the wisdom of God walking with men and confounding those who sought to destroy Him with their own words. When we see all that, that's when you know the truth. And that truth can make you free. How does that happen? You know, Deuteronomy chapter 4. We were in chapter 6. But if you go back a little bit to chapter 4, and we want to read verse 9. Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen. At least they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord. We're all standing before the Lord this day. We need to take heed to ourselves. We need to diligently keep the Word of God and the message of Christ in our hearts. Never forgetting, our eyes, we weren't there to see Him walk on water, but we know He did. Our eyes read the Scriptures that goes into our hearts and minds. Our souls are amplified. Our spirit rejoices because Jesus walked on water, because Jesus raised Lazarus, because Jesus healed the centurion's son, because Jesus fed 5,000 people with some fish and bread. We never forget. And the only way to do that is, first of all, to hear about it. In John chapter 6, verse 45, Jesus tells us that we must hear and be taught of God in order to come to Him. Put that in your heart. Listen to the Word of God. Let those words come off the pages into your eyes and right into your heart and hold them there. That's the treasure that you want to have. The treasures that are not part of this world. It's part of eternity. Remember, we must believe. Jesus said in John 8:24, you must believe that He is the Christ. Believe that with all your heart. Believe His message. Those are things we have to enter into our hearts, and those are the things we have to remember. Jesus taught us that we need to repent to be saved, because if we don't repent, we perish. So remember that. Put that right up here. Put that in here and remember. And as you put all those things into your heart, let them become motivation. Remember and be motivated that Jesus stood in a boat that was being tossed to and fro and surely was going to sink. And He yelled out, "Peace be still." He can do that in your heart. Just as God opened up the Red Sea and allowed the Israelites to travel across dry land and destroyed their enemy right before their eyes, Jesus Christ does that for us. And then Jesus says, repent and confess His name before men. Because if we do that, He confesses us before the Father. Just remember these things. Store them away. And then act upon them. We need to be baptized. We need to be immersed in the waters of baptism. We need to allow ourselves to become part of the family of God. Let God do His work and add us to the church. Add us to the body of Christ. Ultimately to the kingdom. That's what baptism is all about. It's not an inward sign of an outward grace. You want to forget that. Baptism is not a choice after you're saved. You want to forget that. Baptism washes away our sins, Acts 22:16. Baptism is for the remission of sins, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Baptism is a death and burial where you die to sin, you're buried with Christ, and then you're raised up from the dead of that burial, the death of that burial with Jesus Christ right at your side. By the power of God. Believe that. Put that in your heart. Remember that. And then live a life faithful until the day that you die. Deuteronomy 4:9, only take heed to yourself. Diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Never forget. It's such a wonderful thing. And it's such an easy thing. We read about God, that great Shema that was listed there. Hear ye, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Tonight, if you have not obeyed the gospel, you've heard all these things, you're remembering them, they're in your heart right now, I just mentioned them. Don't be like 9/11. Don't be like Pearl Harbor. Don't be something like the memorials in Washington of Jefferson and of Lincoln and of Martin Luther King Jr. Don't be that kind of a thing where you become cold and dead to God because you refuse to remember the words. You refuse to act upon them. Don't let that happen in your life. Your life is worth more than the sun, the moon, and the stars in heaven. God created you and He wants you. He wants you to obey Him. The song of invitation is, what will your answer be? You heard the gospel message. You know that Jesus Christ was real. There's no question of that. Anybody that denies that has never actually looked into it. And you know that He's the only way to heaven. There is no other way. What harm is there if we just forget those things? Well, hell. What benefit if we remember those things and act upon them? Heaven. You have an opportunity this day that needs to be met, because the song of invitation says, someday you'll stand at the bar on high. Someday your record you'll see. Sobering words. Realize, sobering words. God has prepared all these things. He's put it in a book so we can't be confused. He's made it all clear. The mystery solved. And someday you'll stand at that bar on high. Someday you'll stand before Jesus. It's inevitable. It's appointed unto all men to die once and then the judgment. What will your answer be? Today it should be, yes, Lord. I choose this day to put sin behind me, to put sin to death, and to be immersed for the forgiveness of those sins, and to rise up out of that water a new creation in Christ, to walk a new life. It's that simple. What will your answer be? Where will you spend eternity? Do you have a need this night, whether it is to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, to do those things that we mentioned up on the board, to hear the gospel, to believe that gospel, to repent of your sins, to confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, and to be added to the church? This is the time. What will your answer be to that invitation? What's the answer? If you have sin in your life that's not repented of, you're separated from God, and hell is your destiny, quite frankly, deal with that tonight. Don't leave this room having not done that important thing and become like those memorials, just things that people vaguely remember. Do you remember the name of your great-great-grandfather? I don't. Do you remember the names of all your parents' siblings? If, you know, some people have a lot. If Earl Hiles was here, a lot. I'm amazed how much he remembers about them, but it's because they're in his heart. We don't want to be stone cold. We don't want to leave this room, this auditorium, this building, this assembly, having not obeyed the gospel and become like those stone cold images that will never inherit the kingdom of heaven. If you have a need in any way, shape, or form, we're here to help. Let's all stand together and sing the song of invitation. What will your answer be?
Someday I'll stand up.